College holds a mythic place in American culture. But there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show, presented by your Baltimore area Jiffy Lube locations. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Kahn, joining us right now, courtesy of the Window Nation Guest Hotline, Oriole General Manager Mike Elias. Good morning to you, Mike.
Hey, Rob. How you doing?
Doing well. Doing well. Mike, we talk about the frustration level of the fans. We insinuate about the frustration level from the players. But with so many players on IL right now, what type of frustration level is that for the general manager that put the team together and have so many players on the IL right now?
It's been a rough stretch. I mean, we're not able to hide from that. And it's been a really tough way to start the year. We've certainly dug a hole. As you mentioned, we've had a lot of injuries. I just think that's part of it, though. We've got guys that aren't performing well. We've got moves that I made that aren't bearing fruit. We just have a lot of things that haven't broken our way. And this is coming off of the heels of our playoff disappointment last year. So it's been a rough stretch and people are frustrated and I can understand it. And we're working right now. We've got a big home or a big road trip coming up that I hope we can start to turn things around. And we're trying to get guys healthy. We're trying to get guys back on track. We're trying to repair the roster to whatever degree that we can. But right now we've got to just focus on what's ahead of us. And we got a lot of hard work, but we also have a lot of talent on the team.
You mentioned all the, well. You mentioned frustration. Obviously, we hear it every day as well. Just like you do, we hear it from the callers and people we meet and all that. It's your 13-20. It's been very frustrating beginning to the season. Injuries, of course, are a huge part of this. But something seems to need some change, or something's got to give here. You can't get rid of all the players. Is the manager's job safe?
Yeah, this is not something that the manager is impacting on the team. I think we've got a rotation that's ranking towards the bottom of MLB right now. I don't think that's going to be the case forever, but we've started off with really bad starting pitching. We've got guys on the IL. We do have, you know, hitters that are frustratingly underperforming right now in a lineup that's just not clicking the way it's got to be, and I think that's something that we've got to figure out internally, and we're doing that. But you know, right now this is an issue of not pitching well night to night and not being healthy enough and then not getting our guys to click. So it's really on the whole organization. Obviously that starts with me, and we're working on it.
Mike, they told me I had to ask the tough questions and something that's on everybody's mind. Do you think the Ravens letting go of Justin Tucker is a football move or not? No, I'm kidding. Let's, Mike.
I got enough stuff to talk about with the Orioles.
I'm kidding, man. I'm in that group, and I don't know if it's a smaller group that I didn't want to see Mayo, Basayo, or Holiday go. I don't know how much you can talk about it to agree, but I'm assuming when teams come a-calling, those are the first names that they bring up.
Yeah, those and others. You know, we've had a lot of really top positional prospects the last couple of years. You know, last winter, everyone was asking for Kowser and Westberg, and you know, you make decisions to hold on to guys, and you hope that it works. And right now, we have several young hitters doing well at the minor league at the top of our farm system. Mayo's up with the team right now. You mentioned Samuel Basayo, who's really exciting. Enrique Bradfield's doing really well, our center fielder in Double A, although he's coming back from a hamstring injury currently. And Vance Honeycutt, our first rounder last year, another impact defender in center, is off to a pretty good start too. So we certainly have young hitters, and other teams are interested in them. You know, we'll see where the conversations lead and where the team is, but we're hoping to be in a buyer type of mode here as we get into the trade deadline, but we have a lot of work to do in the standings.
Oriole General Manager, Executive Vice President Mike Elias joins us on the Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Mike, I asked you about injuries before. I want to stick with that because it seems to be an epidemic around baseball. Why are we seeing so many pitchers end up on the IL. They're dropping like flies. But I mean, I guess sometimes you can't come up with one singular answer. But for it to be such a baseball issue, is there something that maybe we're not doing in training or whatever around the league that's not benefiting these pitchers?
Well, yeah, it's definitely a league-wide, although right now we have a little bit more than our fair share, kind of more than most teams right now. I don't think it's anything that we're doing, although we are looking at that just to be careful. I mean, this is something that's a huge conversation. The commissioner's office, the union, everybody's looking at it. I don't have a pat answer about it. I think guys are throwing harder and nastier stuff than ever. Pitchers are kind of going short in their outings more than ever because they're max effort on every pitch. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the way that the game has evolved in this technology era where you're able to measure how nasty every single pitch is. Guys want to throw nastier and nastier pitches. The hitters are able to hit them further and further. They want to miss bats more than ever. It's not good. It's something that baseball's got to figure out, because to see all of our star pitchers drop like flies because of injury, that's just not good for anybody. So I hope it's something that we can figure out. But right now we're in the middle of, like you said, it's an epidemic. It's a crisis.
Do you think it has anything to do with the fact that kids, instead of playing like baseball, football, basketball, wrestling, track, or whatever, they play baseball year-round from the time they're little, and they're not developing other muscles, other muscle memory, and by the time they reach the major league level with high minors, they put a lot of wear and tear in young arms. Is there any movement to thing that address that at a younger age?
Yeah, they play a lot of baseball. The pitchers do a lot of pitching, and it's because they're trying to be better and better and better than the next guy. And I'm not sure that the extra repetitions and the extra practice, it might help them get better, but the problem is that it does wear you down, or at least we think so.
Mike, I got to ask you about Charlie Morton. I mean, I don't need to tell you the numbers. He's putting on two guys every single inning at least. How long is the leash with this, and how long can you go? Because I understand, look, he's got a track record, but he is at the back end of his career. What are your thoughts on Morton?
Well, it's definitely been problematic. I mean, we brought him in to stabilize the rotation with his veteran experience, and you just look at his statistics and his stuff, and he's been great for the Braves the last 4 years. He's been super consistent, super durable, and he's got good stuff this year. He's just not getting anybody out, and it's been a huge problem. So we can't keep doing the same thing. So we've moved him to the bullpen, and right now he's one of our options in the organization for that role. But we're going to keep working with him, and I think his stuff and track record suggests that he's better than this, but it's certainly been one of the big factors for us getting off to this really disappointing start.
Orioles General Manager, Executive Vice President Mike Elias joins us on the Big Bad Morning Show. Mike, I remember last year Colton Cowser was a guy that at some point you said we're going to put him in the lineup every day regardless of who's on the mound. Lefties, righties, tough lefties even. We've noticed this year that the youngster, Holiday, against some lefties, is out of the lineup. Does there come a point where you say that this guy's a stud, he's going to bat against the tough lefties, and he's there regardless of who's on the mound?
Yeah, I've certainly been aware of kind of the fan rumblings, the conversation around this, and I can understand it because our team's not hitting and our lineup's not clicking. You kind of look for reasons. Baseball, there is no hiding from the fact that same-handed hitters against same-handed pitchers have a tougher time. And you'll notice when you're watching our games, when Gunner's up in a big spot, they'll bring in a left-handed pitcher to face them.
Yeah.
And you'll see other teams platoon their lineups. Platoon means put in a righty against the lefty or vice versa. Like, this is something that's going on all around the league. Now, when you have a young guy, Holiday's a good example. Kerstad's a good example. We believe in them very highly. They're high draft picks. They're going to have the ability to emerge in the stars and be able to hit against both sides of the plate, kind of like we've seen from Gunnar Henderson. Mm-hmm. But that's a little bit of a process. And step one is you hit better and better against right-handed pitching first. And I think we're starting to see that from Jackson. You'll start to see him sprinkled in there against lefties more. It's a little bit of a gradual process, but this is not something that we're making up, that it's harder for those guys to hit against lefties, especially early in their career. So we're aware of it, but this is, you know, it's part of the game today. And, you know, it's all around the sport.
Mike, stepping back, like taking the, you know, the higher 10,000 foot view, the National League seems to me just a lot stronger at the top. I mean, they've got like Dodgers, Padres, Giants, Mets. They all look like really powerful teams. I don't see that. I don't think the Yankees are a really good 19 win team right now, just from looking at them. That's why, I don't know if there's blind homerism, but if the Orioles get healthy, is the American League still pretty wide open?
Yeah, and I think that's part of the frustration with where we're at. I mean, we've got on the position player side, especially like the talent level to kind of match up with the rest of the American League, and we've put ourselves in a position now where we're playing from behind. There's a ton of schedule left, and I think we're only 5.5 games back of the division lead despite our bad record. So there's plenty of opportunity to do what we want to do and win the division or at least make the playoffs. Because like you said, I don't see a huge talent gap across the American League, but we've got to execute. We got to pitch better. We got to win some games and, you know, start stringing some streaks together. But you're right. The NL stronger. The Dodgers are over there. There was a lot of big teams, big payrolls over in the National League that, we have less of an American.
Mike, we get asked all the time about the team spending money. When are they going to spend money? They thought you'd spend more in the offseason. They also ask about extensions for the young players. And I know it's not like you guys aren't trying, but not every young player is going to sign one of those deals. What are your thoughts on the spending? Are we going to see more? And can you kind of touch on the fact that, you know, people want you to sign these young guys to extensions, but they have to want to do it as well?
Well, yeah, first of all, the new ownership group and David Rubenstein and the rest of the guys running the ownership group have been tremendously supportive from a financial standpoint. So the wherewithal and the willingness is there, and it's going to be there going forward. And we spent this winter and increased the payroll quite a bit now. Not a lot of that's borne fruit yet, but it's early in that regard. And yeah, I credit them in supporting us. I think that there are realities to running a baseball team when you're not in one of the major markets in one of the big cities. And, you know, I don't like to talk about this because it never comes off well, but it's just the reality of the situation where there's a certain amount of measurement that's necessary to keep the team healthy and to keep an eye on the future and your farm system and the type of contract commitments that you have. And so we've got to be a little bit realistic and a little bit careful running this team. Now, that doesn't mean, you know, the fact that we're starting off in last place, that's bad, and that's not part of the plan. So this isn't going to plan, but this isn't something where a team like us is going to be able to keep blows with the Dodgers and the Mets and the Yankees every bit. So we've got to be smart, and the ownership group has every ability and intention to help us run this team optimally, and I think that you're going to see a healthy level of spending across the future here with the Baltimore Orioles in a way that we haven't because of these guys.
General Manager, Executive Vice President Mike Elias, Baltimore Orioles. Mike, thanks a lot for your time this morning, my friend.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, right, Mike. We'll talk about Tucker next time.
Yeah.
Sorry. I don't know if he hung up or he didn't find it funny.
He laughed when you asked him. He asked him about Justin Tucker.
Well, it's on my mind.
Jeremy freaking Kahn, ladies and gentlemen. Jeremy Kahn.
They have three Ivy League grads and Seg Mydell. They're in the same. What an idiot.
No, Ed, I thought your questions were fun.
Hey,
I was talking about me.
Want to hear from you. You heard the GM. Were you satisfied with the answers? As well, are you more enlightened by where the Orioles are going, the direction they're going as well? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. If you missed the Mike Elias interview, man, you missed a good one. You can go to our Odyssey app and hear it again. He answered everything that he was asked. Did not run away from anything, Ed.
No, not at all. I didn't think he would.
But again,
we should replay that early so people can listen live, yeah, listen again early in the morning.
I think that's what we were talking about. You know, you weren't in the meeting, Ed. No, I'm kidding.
Thank the Lord.
No, but it just makes sense because we all got, look, I don't think, not everybody pays attention to this, but a lot of times we have guests on, we all get in one question. right? Yeah, it goes around the room, and depending on how long the questions are.
Depending on the guest, it could be half of one question per period.
If it's Jim Palmer's one question.
That's kind of what I meant.
If it's Jim Palmer, don't say hello. Just get into your first question and let him roll. But, I mean, that doesn't even matter. We want to hear him pontificate. So, yeah. But, like, with this, how many GMs want to come on and talk about all the bad things that are going on? And like I was saying to Rob, he prefaced the one thing by saying, I know I can't say this, but there's been so much bad luck with this team with the injuries that they've had. And even if you hated what they did in the offseason, I'm tired of people going, take away the injuries. They
can't.
You can't take it away. It's such a huge impact.
It's a huge impact, and it's more than that. I would venture almost all people listening listen critically to what he said, because you have smart people out there listening. There's some knuckleheads who are going to just hit their ears differently. Because think about what he said. He did address injuries. He said exactly. Saying you can't compete with the Yankees, Mets, Dodgers, is that not true? How difficult that is to compete with those mammoth cities?
Financially,
of course
yeah.
it is. I mean, financial, you can't. Then, what else did he say? He didn't just give the old, trite, everything stops with me, it's my responsibility. He specifically said some of his moves have not panned out. It's on me. That's a real, that's an admission that he's, there's guys who we expected to really perform that haven't, and he actually is the guy who was in charge of drafting them. So, I mean, I thought he did a really good job being really honest.
I know I don't work for the Orioles, but if they ask, I will drive Charlie Morton to whatever airport they want him to go. It doesn't even have to be BWI. I'll go wherever they want. And I like Charlie Morton. Like, I think, again, this dog is not hunting right now, and his track record does not matter.
I can't believe you asked about Justin Tucker. Let's go to Mount Airy and get George. What's up, George?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. Really good interview with Mike Elias, and a lot of good things came out of it. But from this longtime Orioles fan, I have a problem with the way that the limited resources have been utilized for this season and the upcoming seasons. Say nothing about the fact that Charlie Morton hasn't performed. The $15 million that they spent on him for this year may have been able to be put somewhere else to, do something like maybe sign Zach Eflin for a little longer term than having him this year.
See, let me ask you this, George. Number one, the $15 million that they gave him has nothing to do with anybody else. Number one. Number two, let me paint this picture for you. Zach Eflin was playing for Tampa Bay Rays. Zach Eflin didn't expect it to be traded. Zach Eflin is from that area. How do you know Zach Eflin doesn't want to return to that area? How do you know Zach Eflin wants to extend here? See, those are all the things you got to take into account. Zach Eflin is on that level of his career where he's going to get paid what he's going to get paid regardless of where he goes.
If you've been pitching like he's pitching, don't you want to ride this out?
Exactly. But Zach Eflin didn't know he was getting traded.
Yeah.
He didn't know it. And I'm not saying Zach Eflin wants to go back to Florida, but these are when you spend $15 million on this guy. That could have been used for another guy. Okay, that's one side of looking at it. But what about the other side? How do you know that guy wants to extend here?
There's that, and it's also very much rearview mirror stuff. You're looking at this now saying, well, look at did anybody think Charlie Morton would be this bad? His ERA is more than double what it was the last couple of seasons. More than double. He's having a terrible year. So, granted, I liked Eflin, wanted Eflin, was happy when he came, but I didn't think Morton was going to be horrific. I mean, you just don't know. So you can't say we shouldn't have picked him. We should use that money for that guy. Yeah, now you can say that.
But
you see how he's performing.
But that $15 million has nothing to
no
do
bearing
with
on him anyway.
Yeah, it has nothing
it's
to do
with this year. So if they were going to sign him to an extension.
Yeah.
There's no salary cap anyway.
But like Jeremy said, if you're signing him to an extension, that's money you owe him forward. That $15 million for Morton is now.
Yeah.
So and, that $15 million has nothing to do with an extension.
I feel like I'm trying to mansplain everything, and I'm not trying to be that a-hole, like know-it-all. But like when you honestly look at this team, you see all the short-term deals that they've signed. If you look at the way the team is set up and honestly take a look at it, you have prospects that should be ready by the time these guys are going to filter out or having an opportunity. Like the Cedric Mullins thing, like by the time he's ready to leave here, Enrique Bradfield Jr. is going to be ready or almost ready. We were talking about Mountcastle's contract's coming up. Guess who's ready? Coby Mayo. You don't think any of this is by design, guys? Because when he first talked about this team, they talked about running it like the Rays.
Yeah.
We had the old ownership. Now you got somebody that's willing to spend money. So if you're smart and run it like the Rays. Do you realize the first time that the Rays GM left and went to the Dodgers and he goes, you guys, I have how much to spend?
Yeah.
And saw what happened out there? They're still drafting well. They're spending all the money. Like,
they got a perfect storm. They got a guy who knows how to draft when there's no money. And you give that guy a lot of money. That's dangerous.
It's really dangerous. And I think when you look at what Mike Elias has done here, like, the drafting has been incredible. I don't care what anybody's saying. We actually have a place in the Dominican now, which people are like, oh, big deal. No, it's a huge deal.
It's a huge
Some
deal.
Of the best ball players come from there.
Yeah.
You want to be in
30% of baseball is Latino now. How can we not have been there?
Let's take some more phone calls on the other side. Joe LaCroix's Encore 9:45, but on the other side, still taking your phone calls. Mike Elias, Oriole GM, Executive Vice President, joined us at 9 o'clock. Your comments on the interview, also you can hear it on the Odyssey app as well. Joe, you got some text on the Mike Elias interview?
I do. As you can imagine, they're not very happy.
Okay.
The people. All right, I'll start with this one. Was that Elias or Angelos? Absolute joke. F Mike Elias.
Does he give a reason why?
What?
No, that's literally the text.
That's just one of those a-holes that, no matter what you say, they're not. Yeah.
Here's another one from Chuck in Virginia. Elias sounds exactly like the way he does his job. Incompetent. The crappy feud about hitting righties better first. How does this? Okay, Jesus, people cannot put a sentence together. The crappy feud about hitting righties better first before facing lefties is ridiculous. I don't usually call for anyone else's job, but I am now. He's got to go.
Well, that's dumb too.
He actually said he gots to go.
Well, look, do people not buy into the lefty righty thing? Why does every effing MLB team do it? I'm saying, are they being
too? They all have to go.
Are they being too all aggressive?
Can I go to a time in Orioles baseball when things were great? And we think it was the greatest time ever. I submit to you Lowenstein Rennecke, lefty, righty, left field. One batted against right-handers, the other batted against left-handers. They hit over 40 bombs collectively one year. Can I also present to you Jim Dwyer, Dan Ford? They played in right field. They platoon. Towards the end of his career, could I present to you Bumbry, Shelby, platoon, center field. Why do people act like this is new? When the time that many of you say was the greatest time in Oriole history, the greatest era, they platooned then.
And again,
why is this new?
For me, I don't have a problem with any right-handers that they put in the lineup to face lefties. I want to see Jackson Holliday in there, especially against soft-tossing lefties. And I want to see, like, Colton Cowser got his opportunity to hit against lefties last year. I don't know if that's because they didn't have better options.
Right.
But that being said, I want to see Kierstead and I want to see Holliday hit against lefties. Not every lefty.
I do. And you saw a time where that switch flipped for Colton Cowser.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it. Kevin in Catonsville. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning, guys. How you doing, man?
Doing well. How are you, man?
Hey, one thing I want to commend you guys because I didn't think you would, but I like that you didn't throw no softball questions out there to him other than, you know, Rob, you said you were surprised Jeremy asked him about Justin. I wasn't. No.
Well, hell, man.
But you know, hey, and I think he answered honestly, but he still has to walk that fine line of, hey, I can't say Charlie Morton pitching like crap even if he is. Got a massage because you still got a locker room to think about. But he answered the questions, in my opinion, honestly and truthfully. And like you said, Zach Eflin may want to go back to Florida. Maybe he don't. But some of these guys don't. It helped me as a fan when I stopped looking at the game like a fan, you know? But good interview, and I'm glad y'all asked the tough questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate that. And that's the problem. People don't. Yeah, he told the truth. Yeah, but I don't like his answer. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Columbia, Steve. What's up, Steve?
Good morning. How you doing, guys?
Doing well. How are you?
Okay. I know how you're doing. It's not a question you want people to ask. But anyway, I'm actually not calling about Mike Elias' job. I'm calling about my job. And the situation is this: I'm in my 60s. I'm considering taking a course or courses offered by a company called Sports Management Worldwide in player development and scouting. And I was, I hope to be able to ask Mike this myself, but in your opinion, would he or any major league team, what would they how seriously would they take a person graduating from these classes and getting started in this?
Well, I say you said sports management, Steve. I'll tell you this. A lot of the guys that work for them either did sports management or finance. That's a lot of them.
Well, I think in a lot of situations, too, depending on where you're at, you got to have a math background.
I was a sports management guy myself. That's my education, sports management. But like you said, math has got to be a part of it.
Rob got straight A's and running up the score. Deal with that today.
Oh, my gosh. He's laughing to where he lost his breath. His breath, Ed. He's back here getting a kick out of himself, leaning back in his chair, turning red. He is candy apple red laughing at himself.
Man, you don't know.
Let's go to Harford County and get Mike. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. Good. How are you?
Good. I turned it on right when Elias was speaking. I think he was truthful. He was honest. He was upfront. He said the trades didn't come through the way I wanted to. He owned it. You can't do anything about injuries. So I don't care who you are. When you put a team together, you do not put together the team with injuries. Any team that takes a Rodriguez, a Bradish, and an Efren off of the team, period, end of story. Take any team in the MLB, take their top three starters off the team, and let's have a discussion about the quality of the roster. Then you get a guy from the Phillies, and I think a 2.42 last year, and has a track record of being above average, and he basically is out. And then you have a bullpen outside of a couple hiccups has been pretty respectful. The biggest eyesore based on the team being together is the hitting, period, because those players were there and they are there. Everything around it, the bullpen is respectable, but the pitching is out. You can't take a Lamar Jackson, a Derrick Henry, a Kyle Hamilton out and expect it to be the same team, no matter who the GM is, period. So all these guys that call up with all this, rant stuff, and don't understand. You don't. You know, they sound like that guy on Charlie Brown, rant, right? You don't make a great team with injuries. You don't. You got to plan for it. But this is ridiculous. This is like rearranging the chairs on the Titanic. The ship's still going to go down when you lose three starters. Have a great.
You too. Wow.
I hope we lose a fourth. Get Charlie Morton out of here.
He's in the bullpen.
Oh. Get him out of the bullpen. They have good numbers. Trying to ruin that too.
What was the line in Wedding Singers when he told his girlfriend to take off the shirt that had the band on it? He's gonna make a breakout.
Oh no, that's the Wedding Singer. That yeah, so it. He's like, take off my shirt before you jinx the band and they break up. And it was a Van Halen T-shirt. You know,
get out of the bullpen before you jinx the bullpen. Yeah.
Hey, honey, somebody shot JR. Damn it, I got water all over myself.
I love that movie.
Oh, let's go to Delaware and get John. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Good. Can you please turn my frown upside down and tell me there's something I hope for this season?
I didn't hear you.
Can you please turn my frown upside down and tell me there's something I hope for this season?
Yeah, look, I mean, this month you're getting back a bunch of pieces. And again, this month you're also facing a bunch of teams that are below 500 or right around there. You've had a tough schedule to start the season. Some of these guys are getting healthy. I don't know what to tell you about Grayson. Bradish is on his way back. I don't know how long that's going to take. Eflin seems like he's going to get back sooner than the rest of them. Kittredge is coming back. Mm-hmm. Chase McDermott just had a start in the minor league. So you have options now if something's not going right. The good thing about those guys coming back is ain't enough spots on this team. And the first guy that should go, you know who it is.
Charlie Morton.
Yeah. They're going to have to make a decision. I don't want to see other guys going. I mean, look, you have Rivera and some of these other guys up here. Mayo, if the other guys get healthy.
This guy's like a dog with a bone over here. Charlie Morton. Joe has the encore. You don't want to miss it. Find out what we learned today on The Fan. I didn't partake in Cinco de Mayo yesterday.
Didn't?
Oh, I kind of did. I'm sorry. Back up of that. I met at table 13. And me and Holtz hit a couple shots.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'll back off of that. I did. That was real early, though.
Did you say me and Hose?
Holtz.
Oh, okay. Holtz. I didn't know if, like, Hose
my
was
buddy
just
Chris
out.
Scherholtz. We call him Holtz.
Me and Hose having shots.
I swear I thought that's what you said. I did. Exactly. See, I what
think
it sounds like.
I think it's more of and what you expected me to say.
Yeah, that's possibly.
Yeah. It was overheard.
And I'm still upset with you for agreeing that I have no soul. I heard that. I heard that, and I'm still upset about that. I'm trying to get over that. Do I not have a soul? Ed said, no. Whoa, dude. That's not on the script. And I'm still not over. That's the encore for the day. Ed?
Lion's Den brings you the encore every day. So put some spark in your relationship and embrace your curiosity. Check out Lion's Den. A bunch of locations in the Baltimore area. Great place.
Let's go out to Owings Mills and get Brian. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. What's going on, man?
Not much, man. Good morning to you, too.
Hey, man. This whole Justin Tucker thing, I'm going to say good riddance, goodbye. And I hope they start giving his jerseys. You know, people turning their jerseys the same way they did
for Rice.
Ray Rice.
Yeah.
Because I never forgot that. That pissed me off, and it still bothers me.
Brian, do you think they got to wait until the evidence? I mean, the NFL findings
wait for
first.
Nothing. No, okay. No. When you got a whole bunch of people, when you got women coming out saying this, and it's more than one. I'm sorry, but they all can't be lying. Get Pee Wee Herman up out of here, and we got a better replacement and good riddance.
He called him Pee Wee Herman.
Mecca Lecca Hi, Mecca Honey Ho.
People should have known something was wrong with that old expression, yeah. Mecca Honey Ho.
The porn theater where he got locked up is now a pizza restaurant right by my house.
Oh, man.
Really?
The Mellow Mushroom, yeah. It's a great place, and they got Pee Wee Herman stuff on the
wall. I hope they cleaned off the walls before they...
Yeah, they redid it. Yeah, it's
no, it looks like a Jackson Pollock painting in there.
Mecca Heine Ho. We should have known.
Done that.
We should have known.
Hi, Jambi. Did you know Lawrence Fishburne started on that show?
I know. He didn't start on that show.
Well, that's where he got his big break. Look at the timeline.
Look at Cornbread Earl and Me.
Cowboy Bob.
Cornbread Earl and Me.
Man, ain't no such thing as who Cornbread.
You never saw Cornbread. You never saw Cornbread Earl and Me.
I don't think so. Who's in it?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Nah, man, I ain't see that.
The little boy.
Yeah. Is he a kid in that?
Yes.
Okay, now I got to watch it.
Yeah. Hey, Ed, how is he going to tell me about black cinema? How are you going to tell me about black cinema?
I know more about black cinema.
Okay. Shut up, Rob, you don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right.
That's a whole, you know.
You don't know Cornbread Earl and Me. You don't know.
Did you see Blackula 1, 2, and 3?
It wasn't the third one.
Blackula.
Foxy Brown?
Yes, I did.
I saw all the blaxploitation films.
And tell us what you learned today.
A couple of things. It's just two minor things. In 1991, Lenny Dykstra had a double today.
Was it two girls at the same time?
No. Yes.
What was the double?
Sports car hit two trees.
Okay. All right.
That toothless son of a bitch, man.
You have no soul. Today's date,
1997, the Hartford Whalers became the Carolina Hurricanes. We were talking about them earlier. But today, one of my favorite moments in professional hockey happened today. May 6, 1988. I don't know if anybody knows this story. Maybe Joe, a little before your time. Don Kaharski was an official in the NHL. What happens is he's leaving. It's the Whales Conference Finals, now the Eastern Conference. Devils are playing the Bruins. They lose the game 6-1. Jim Schoenfeld is the coach of the Devils. He's walking off the ice. His blade gives out. He trips a little bit. He screams at the coach, "You're gone. You're gone. You won't coach another." Schoenfeld, "You fell and you know it. You fell. I didn't touch you." Kaharski keeps screaming, "You're gone. It's on tape." Schoenfeld answers, "Good, because you fell, you fat pig. Have another donut." Then they suspend Schoenfeld for a game. They appeal it. This is where it gets really crazy. The officials, showing solidarity, refused to ref that game.
Wow.
So the fans had to wait in the Meadowlands Arena at that time for over an hour for them to find officials. They ended up getting some guys managed a skating rink in Yonkers and two other guys to officiate this game. So it was a crazy day.
Man, I never heard that story.
It's a real in the weeds hockey story.
Couple of national days today. Today is National Foster Care Day. Man, great for you adults who take on foster kids. That's a great, that's a labor of love, man.
Yeah.
It is.
I mean, foster kids.
You've done
kids,
it before.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't foster necessarily, but we took kids in that live with us for a while that, you know, my wife and I, we took in the twins. And if you've heard me tell stories about them, it's one of the best things we've ever done. For all the times we've taken in people and it's blown up in our face, that makes up for all of them.
Rewarding, yeah. There's also National Teacher Appreciation Day. I think every day should be Teacher Appreciation Day. It is the toughest job professionally, in my opinion, in the world, because everything that you do, you learn from a teacher. Everything you educate is from a teacher. It's a great job. Also, this is a national week. They're celebrating as a day today, but it's actually a national week. To my baby girl, Stephanie, and my other friends who are nurses, and my sister, Jennifer, National Nurses Week.
Yep, man, my wife's a nurse.
And your wife.
Yeah, so she's labor and delivery and works overnights. She's probably sleeping right now, and she worked 4 days in a row. So, yeah, we were talking about it this actually yesterday, that it's Nurses Week.
Yeah.
Trying to get her to nurse me.
Today would have been Willie Mays' birthday in sports. Today also would have been one of your guys, Ed. Hurricane Carter would have celebrated a birthday today.
Oh, really?
Ruben?
Yeah, Ruben would have celebrated a birthday today. Chris Paul turns 40 today. Jose Altuve turns 35. All right. Martin Brodeur and former sack artist John Abraham share birthday today. Joe, who's older? Martin Brodeur, former sack artist John Abraham.
Brodeur?
I'm going Abraham just because he used to go, Charlie, I'm coming for you, Charlie, to Charlie Batch.
Who's yours, Ed?
Brodeur is not that old. He's in his 50s. I will say Brodeur.
Brodeur. All right. Yeah. John Abraham today turns 47. 47. Oh. And Martin Brodeur turns 53. He's older.
See, I screwed that up.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking of John Randall.
Yeah, I know you well when you said, I'm coming to get you, Charlie.
I don't think
John Abraham ever said that. Oh. What's on your mind, Jeremy Kahn?
All right, a couple things real quick. What kind of income does a vegetable receive? A celery. Only 2 years ago, my wife's gynecologist delivered pizza. Still to this day, they both think it's a terrible name.
That's funny.
I don't know. I don't have enough time to pull off this other one. Do I? All right, here. A nurse at a field ambulance in World War I came to the bed of a wounded Australian soldier. She took him by the hand, looked him in the eye, and passionately told him, "You did not come here to die." He replied, "Nah, mate, just got here yesterday." Get it? The whole thing. I didn't know if it was going to work.
The accent, yeah.
What do you call a nose with no body? Nobody knows. A drummer has two daughters. You know what he named them? And a one and a two. My brother prefers taking escalators. I prefer taking elevators. I guess we were raised differently. And here, I'll give you this last one that I love. If you could have sex with anyone live or dead, this is the question my buddy asked me, what would you choose? Alive. Who wants to choose to have sex with a dead person? You freaking creeps. There you go.
Vinny and Henny up next. Have yourselves a safe and wonderful Taco Tuesday.